Ed O'Bannon, who was a great college player at UCLA, won a championship, and has now written a book about his story when he sued the NCAA. It's called Court Justice, The Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA. And for those who don't know the story, if you wouldn't mind, Ed, just the 30-second or so recap of, yes, you did sue the NCAA over compensation.
That is correct. It was mainly just to former athletes to control their likeness. That was initially the thought and why I got was a part of it, and then it eventually branched off into former athletes getting paid, and then current athletes getting paid as well.
And you say former athletes because this all came about, you were watching some friends play one of the college basketball video games about, what now, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, and you said, hey, that's me, only it's not me.
Yes, correct. And that's the reason why I was actually watching it, because my friend, his kid, was playing with our championship team, the 95 team. And it was, initially I was pretty fired up to see it. You know, I never saw it at that time, hadn't seen it yet. And so when I saw it, it was flattering to see my face and my brother and everybody on the screen. And then he says, hey, we paid $60 and you didn't get anything. And that for me was kind of when the wheels started turning. And then eventually, Sonny Vaccaro gave me a call and thought that I'd be great to be the lead plaintiff, and we got the ball rolling, and eventually this is where we ended up.
And just to be clear, the issue isn't with the game; it's with the NCAA and its compensation.
That is correct. It was how the NCAA does business, and the fact that they don't pay the players despite using their likeness, and then even though EA Sports and they are a part of this as well. Even though they didn't pay the players, initially they wanted to, and had the names on the back of the jerseys, on the video games and everything, and then was told not to, was told to take them off, and you could, make the game and produce the game that way, but you couldn't pay the players. So initially they were for it, but then they had to take it off the table.
This has all kind of grown, though, obviously, in the last 11 years. What started as just the issue with the former players, as you said, is now about paying current players, something I know, or at least I can tell from reading the book, from hearing your other interviews, you are certainly in favor of that. And we're not talking about millions of dollars here for each player, right?
Right. I always thought that they should get paid enough to just at least be able to take their significant other out on a date on the weekend, or pay, car insurance or something like that, whether it's a necessity or for pleasure. But they do deserve something. And even first and foremost, they at least should be able to control their likeness. Even if they don't get paid by the athletic department, civil rights, your civil right is to at least control your likeness, and I believe that it should start there.
It seems like, the math part of this, as far as, okay, X number of players get X amount of money, that seems like something that can be worked out. So I would say that there is a way, but I'm asking you now, as we go down the line a little bit here, now it's 2018, not 2007 or whenever the lawsuit began exactly, do you think that there's a way, do you think that there's a will to do this?
Yes, I agree with you. There is definitely a way. I think the will will come from the recipients. I think the athletes, if they want it bad enough and they feel like they deserve it, and are up to the challenge, I think they can challenge the NCAA. They can figure that way out and get it. But the want has to come from the players, I think, because the NCAA is not going to just wake up one morning and say, hey, you know what, these guys, they actually deserve to get paid, let's write them checks. No, it's going to have to come from the potential recipients.
You don't see that as a possibility. I know they won't, out of the goodness of their hearts, as it were, just part with the money. But there have been a lot of scandals recently about, you know, the FBI investigation into boosters and that sort of thing. You don't think the NCAA could see working something out with the players, not only in basketball but in other sports, just as a way to try and head off something even worse down the past? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think time will tell. But just speaking from experience, they seem to have to be pushed into, backed into a corner, by way of lawsuit or you know, some type of walkout or
a strike.
A strike. There you go. And the kids just don't come out and play. But I don't know. I think if I'm just speaking from experience here. If they're not backed into a corner, they just don't seem to want to change anything. So maybe these lawsuits and FBI probes will trigger something to make a change. But as of now, doesn't seem like it's happening.
I know football's not your sport, but what was it, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, Northwestern had a group of players try and form a union. Is that, did you follow that process at all, and is that one potential way to get some sort of equality for athletes?
I think so. Ramogi Huma, actually a UCLA grad as well, played football at UCLA during the same time as I was at UCLA. He spearheaded that. And I thought really made some strides in the right direction for current athletes. And I think it's going to have to take someone like him, of his caliber, of his intelligence, of his spirit, to continue, you know, to march for the athletes. But it will take someone like him to, get things going in that direction. Absolutely.
You also, you know, we've talked about money and money and money here as far as paying the players for their likenesses, but it's not just, it's also about treating them right. The Northwestern players, I know, were worried about medical standards and health standards, and you're worried about, I believe, freedom of expression, correct?
That is correct. There are a number of things. And in the book, we had Michael McCann, my co-writer, who's a brilliant, brilliant man, sports writer out of for SI.com. He and I talk about a 12-step process, 12 calls to action, and that is one of them. Players speaking up for themselves, health benefits, like you were just talking about. Ramogi Huma is attacking that as well. Players or athletes, basketball players and football players coming out of high school, having representation, possibly getting drafted, if not liking your draft status, coming back to school, getting your education, because that's what they're there for, right? That, from what I understand, is to get the education. So there are a number of things that we talk about in the book, you know, we've got the 12 steps of a call to action, and they cover many different things, and health benefits absolutely is one of them.
Do you think that whatever ends up happening, if there is progress for athletes, is it going to be the same for a UCLA as it is for a Loyola, as it is for a North Carolina Central? You know what I mean? Up and down the line, different schools have different endowments and abilities.
Yes, I think so. Maybe not initially, but I believe that there's enough money and enough resources to where it all will eventually even out. My thought process is you have to crawl before you walk. You know, and maybe certain schools can test certain things out, you know, certain rule changes out. And if they work for them, then they can bleed down into the quote-unquote lower D1 level programs. So and then eventually everyone can get on the same page. I don't know, but the way that it is now doesn't seem to be working. So change needs to come And if the bigger schools can start it, the Power Five conferences, maybe they can start it, and then again bleed down into everyone else, then so be it.
The book is Court Justice, The Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA, co-written mainly by Ed O'Bannon, who joins us now, and then, as you mentioned, Michael McCann of Sports Illustrated. Do you discuss, you mentioned your football friend at UCLA who's helping to lead the football players, the union, the Northwestern group, etc. Do you do a lot of hands-on activity with players? Do you speak to current athletes, that sort of thing?
When asked, not necessarily a whole lot. I am available to speak with kids, but at the same time, it's not something that I have sought to do. What I didn't want to do was force my beliefs on to current student athletes who are trying to get their education and accomplish their goals. I didn't want to be some militant, guy coming in and that sort of thing. So, look, if the information is there, if you want to talk about it, further your education in that sense, then I'm there. But I'm not going to force you to listen to me or take in my beliefs. But yes, I'm available anytime anyone wants to talk about it.
Do you still like the game, or did the court battle suck all of that out?
No, I love it. I love it. I spent some time over at the Pac-12 tournament here in Vegas. Watched my Bruins play. Saw my nephew play. I can't wait for this week to start. I've been looking forward to the tournament rolling around. I absolutely love basketball, college basketball in particular. It's a big part of me. It's made me into the man that I am today. I love it.
Good. I can't believe I'm going to ask this, though, but, Bruins and St. Bonaventure, who you got?
Well, I gotta go with my Bruins for sure. But with this tournament, you never know, I guess. But yeah, I gotta go with my Bruins.
Real fast, what's your best memory besides cutting down the nets for the championship?
Wow. My best memory, probably playing with my brother. That was an absolute blast. It was a dream come true.
Good deal. Again, the book is Court Justice, The Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA, written by Ed O'Bannon. Ed, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.